spoils your comfort or your peace of mind. Selling your crown for a button. Remember, Baba never said a thing is easy. In fact, even now, look at us. When we have all the things that we were short of when we were with Baba. Cream, butter, all these things to the extent that we now see on the table. But we cannot enjoy it. Because she doesn't like butter. The Baba said, so she takes a little. Some of this, I'm not hungry. May I go ahead? Oh, I'm dying. All these things to the extent that we now see on the table. But we cannot enjoy it. Because Mera, she doesn't like butter. The Baba said, so she takes a little. Some of this, I'm not hungry. May I go ahead? Oh, I'm dieting. Money and dieting. Rana, well, you know, her digestion isn't what it used to be. What I'm trying to say is that don't forget Baba's part in all this. If things are difficult, remember that maybe Baba's placed that before you. It's an opportunity. Any crisis, any difficult thing that is an opportunity. So why it's so characteristic of Baba, things like that, which can be to us if we're not ready for it. Don't miss the real thing. What, see, Baba, as Baba would say, is true. I tell you, with Baba, in life, not only at the pilgrim center, wherever you, with Baba, it's like wearing a shoe that's not your size, and the shoe will not adjust. Your foot has to adjust to the shoe. So if two people in a room, and one of them says that the other keeps on the line, I'm sleepy, and I want to go to bed, and the other one goes on reading, and the last one, oh, it spoiled my pilgrimage. It's cheap. These things should not come in the way. If you're, because you see, Baba is like a tea kettle that keeps pouring. See that your cup is right underneath it. If your cup moves here and there, it just keeps on pouring, and you think you're not given that. I remember when we were in New York, one of the neon signs that we saw over this, it used to fascinate us, the lights of Broadway. And one we saw was a huge kettle of tea. It just kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and there was a cup underneath. It never got overfull. It never ran away. It just went, well, Baba's there. Keep your cup underneath it. Baba's also like the landlady. The landlady who showed her lodger to a room. And it was a very simple room. There was one little bed there, a table with one of the legs broken. There was a basin and a cracked jug in there, a little mirror hanging up there. And she says to the lodger, well, now she shows him around. Well, now here it is. Here's your bed. And here's a little thing that you can wash your face in. If the tap is working, and this is the jug, and this is what you got to do. And then she says, and if there's anything else you want, just you tell me, and I'll show you how to do without it. And that's Baba. So give him a chance to show you what you can do without. Another thing is that when I hear little things like that, and I know the life that has brought you here. I know all the things that you're doing. But don't forget that Baba is not only tricky, but Baba is Baba's finger in it. If a thing happens, don't look at each other and blame each other. Who knows? You see, when Baba bakes a pot, he puts it in the oven. When the potter brings it out, he goes like this on it. He whacks it with a fingernail to see, is it done? So that's what he, these are little tests when he's trying you and find, oh, no, they're still not baked, unbaked. Put them back in the oven. But when I tell you of some of the things that the Western batch, the group, the disciples, American, English, of the first Swiss, French. When they were in Hyderabad, when we were quite a group. I'm telling you this illustration because I know that the most difficult thing for you all is the lack of privacy, right? Privacy in the Pilgrim Center, in spite of having room for one, rooms for two, rooms for four, there's no privacy. Although to us, it's like a palace compared to what the others went through. Now, just look at the first batch. Among them were Norina, the princess, Nadine Tolstoy, the countess, Elizabeth, the businesswoman, Noni, the elegant and dainty, Rano and Kitty, strong-willed, the Irene Below, the Swiss, having her own ideas, Margaret, the dancer. And what privacy did they have? They had all lifestyles of their own. I mean, so different from what they were now doing with Baba. And yet they slept like schoolgirls in a dormitory. You have seen the study hall up in Mehrabad? Well, that was their sleeping quarters, the dormitory. There's beds a little distance in between for a little table like that and for people to walk. Another bed, same, another bed. Beds in a row, both sides. And that is the way they... So the only way they could have some privacy was to create a privacy. So they would cover their beds. You know, the beds had the mosquito poles, iron poles. So they would cover that with cotton saris and make a sort of an igloo or, you know, a private little hut of their own. So while they sat inside the bed, either writing, when Norina would write articles about Baba, or doing accounts, or whatever, or reading, it would be inside of that. That was the extent of their privacy. Another thing is that there were no bathrooms up there. So just imagine, if one of them had to go to the bathroom, they had to come down these steps, stone steps, which I was told a few months ago, but very steep for people to go up to the study hall, the young ones. And I could only laugh. I said, steep for you? And they were not young at the time. I mean, not as young as we were. There were no banisters to begin with. Noni, the petite, there was so much wind at Mehrabad. So when she was coming down, she was so afraid of being carried off the steps by a gust of wind, she would lean against the wall as she came down. Then Elizabeth had her dog, a pet, very favorite of Baba's and Mara's too, little Kippy. So every time Kippy wanted to ease herself, Elizabeth would come down those steps. And difficult for Elizabeth with her back. Down she would come. Now, Kippy, take a run, Kippy, take a run. And then take her back. Or if they had to go to the toilet, come down, go up again. And as soon as they would go up again, maybe Baba would come up the hill and they would say, everybody, Baba wants everybody. Down they would come again. So you see, you don't have to do these things. What I'm trying to say is, apart from all this, don't miss relishing these difficulties. Don't miss and not only accepting it, but making the most of it. Because these are not only opportunities, but take them from Baba. In fact, sometimes I worry that it is too easy for you all. In the Pilgrim Center and in Mehrabad. Now there's the bus. Remember the rattlers that you all used to come? So each time things are put in, we appreciate your side of it very much. We appreciate your love, your longing, how you made this trip possible. We know. I want you all also to appreciate what the workers there are putting into the Pilgrim Center. I mean, they are just doing it out of love equally. And them doing their best. They're also human. You're also human. Sometimes tempers could be like that. Sometimes they may not be feeling well. But I'm very happy to see that from many letters that come, that they've said how nice it was to stay there, how everybody was helpful. So maybe that's why I said in our ignorance, maybe we're giving you too much comfort. Maybe it shouldn't be. But why I say this is the one that was against all this was Padre. He would say, let them taste a little bit of what we had. And I said, well, I could. So even if it's not bad, you know, we don't want to deprive you of having at least a little taste of what it was like to be with Baba. Because I tell you, he's being very kind to you all. This is Baba's grace. And any difficulties are also Baba's grace. Baba would say, my prasad when I give. It doesn't always have to be sweet. Anything that comes from my hand to you, that I give to you, is prasad. Why are you always happy when I give you a sweet prasad? And why do you make a face when it's something bitter? You see, we have to learn that anything from Baba is prasad. So, what? I'll tell you one instance. In the early life with Baba, we were very cloistered up there in Mehrabad Hill. We had just come from Nasik, just the four of us, all the time in that east room up on the hill, the room that's similar to the museum room. We couldn't go out freely, even in the compound. There was a tata passage. Mera could never be alone. We three of us were together. We would go to the kitchen from such and such a time to such and such a time. After the work, come right back in there. If one of us had to go to a bath, then of the three, one could go. The others would be with Mera. It was very restricted and cloistered. At a time like that, when much of our world was this room, these four walls, for some reason, somebody sent a clock like this, you know. And because there happened to be a nail in the wall near to my bed, they hung that clock onto the wall. They put the clock there. It happened to be right next to me. Now, it was very thrilling to begin with, but after a while, it started irking me, that constant sound. It had a very loud tick, 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 and on and on and on. And I began to reject it in my mind. What is this tick, 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 tick? At night, I was a heavy sleeper. The first thing in the morning, I say that. It came to a point when inside of me, no, I didn't tell anybody. I told the clock. It's you or me. Either you get out of the room or I get out. And I'm not going to get out. And I can't get you out. Baba's put you there. So there has to be something. What I did was very systematically, with great effort, decided to like that ticking. And I said, I love it. I love that tick, tick, tick. If I went to the kitchen, I said, oh, I missed the tick, tick. Even if I was grinding my teeth while I was saying that to begin with, after a while, I got used to it. I got used to it so much, I really learned to love it. So much so that years later, even when we were elsewhere, even now, when we're in Mehrazad, the little timepiece that's by my bed, as close as I can keep to my bed, is the loudest. And sometimes when I have to go to Pune for a tooth operation or something, and Meru has to be in my place, because someone always sleeps in the same room with Meru, one of us, and it's invariably been me and traveling and everything. But when I'm absent, then Meru or somebody would be. So Meru just says, ah, that plug of yours, that terrible thing. So she takes it and puts it in a drawer or puts it out of the room. So you see, when your foot has to adjust to the shoe, when there is no alternative, you can do it. But it's in the lifestyle of today, in the modern way, we are given many alternatives. We can do this or we can do that. But when you can do anything and you have to do this, then you have to do it.
Your story,
there was the getting together, you see. And
Baba was quite tricky when he would use his unfathomable ways to get done what he wants. And when you are naive, especially when you're a child, when I Baba and the story I'm now telling, it was a lesson that is so unique. For instance, he would do that with children, he would do that with grown-ups. Now, when I was a child, and I didn't want to go back home during my school years, Baba wanted me to be a little more educated. And I didn't. I wanted to be with him. And he promised me that if I came out first in class, top of the class, in the final exam of the year, I could be with him always. So I would come out first, and I would come to him for my holidays, long holidays. And I thought, this is it. He has promised. And of course, he must keep my promise. He's not just my brother. He's God. He must keep his promise. What he would do, when the time was right for me now to return home with mother to go to school, he would lavish extra love on me. I have received a lot of love from Baba, especially as a child. And, I mean, outward expression of it, too. And he'd cuddle me, make faces at me to make me laugh. So he called me, and I was nigh or dumb, whichever you like to call it. And he said to me, "You love me, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, yes. You love me a lot?" "Oh, lots, lots." "You mean more than mother, more than father, more than anything, more than everything?" Oh, now he was looking pleased, and that made me pleased. The expression on his face is, "Well, look what he's got, he can't believe it." And that made me feel nicer. So, and he said, then that means you do anything for me?" "Oh, yes, I'll do anything for you." "Anything? Oh, anything. No, I'm getting work done. Anything." And now Baba's expression is sort of puzzled, and he says, as if he can't believe it, he's, you mean, even if I tell you to go back home for another year to school, you mean you'd even do that for me? Oh. Ah, big mouth. And that's not only one. In the same way, when there was that in the room, and that big hall, the palatial hall, which is full, packed with his lovers, every nationality, every vocation, and every face alight with joy and to be here again. Everybody colorful, everybody talking, everybody laughing, glowing. And Baba at the end of the hall, silent, looking down at him. Not speaking, just a white sadra. And yet, all the power you felt was, all this was coming from there. All this was a reflection from that. You know, I'm often reminded when I see a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball with facets. You know, it's like a paperweight I had on. When you twirl it, there are a lot of colors in it. It's very gay, and you see flashes of all colors. But right in the very center, it's no color, and it's transparent. You can see through. The point, the very heart of it, is so simple, plain, and different. And that's how Baba was. But afterwards, when each one had been with Baba and the darshan, I won't describe the whole darshan to you, that's take time. But afterwards, when Baba wanted them all to disperse, it was time that his lovers leave. He would talk about obedience. I mean, others would interpret what Baba was saying. And you could see everyone sitting up straighter, ready to do anything for Baba. He only had to tell you to jump down from the top of the mountain. They were all ready. You could see that build up in the whole atmosphere. And when that was complete, Baba would say, "Now I want you to leave this place. I want Guru Prasad empty and 3 minutes flat." And of course, everybody knew they were tricked. There would be moaning and groaning and laughing. And then they all wanted to obey. They'd all stand, but they all wanted to be last. You know, each one wanted to be the last. To see Baba with different people, to see Baba with a child, to see Baba with an old person, to see Baba with a so-called philosopher, to see Baba with an educated person, to see Baba with a farmer. Baba would be on that level so totally and completely, without any ostentation, so naturally he'd become part of that, that the person would leave, when the person left, he'd left with the feeling that here was the one true friend, not only loved him, who understood him. And also during those dashes, when there were hundreds there in fact in that hall in Guru Prasad around, each one felt that they had received an impression, a smile or a look or something that was special, individual for each one, no matter how many there were. And even those who were closest to him, I mean physically, were unaware very often of the little stories that were enacted without our knowing it, sometimes a little drama. And we only came to know of them a long time later when those lovers would tell their story. So you see, while we saw one side of the coin, the other lover received the other side of the coin. We weren't conscious of it till later when we heard of it. And then the two pieces were put together. And we said, oh, so that was it. So that was why Baba did that. But we didn't know from then. And he would do it so naturally. He would make it appear so simple and natural. Like the time we were in Pune in Guru Prasad. And in the morning, Baba would go over to the men mandali, always separate. And Erich would have the mail, and he would read out. And Baba would take it. Sometimes he'd say, read that. Sometimes he'd say, no, not that. And what had happened some time before was that the Baba lover had been transferred in his job, in the governmental job, to a far-off place, where a very primitive place where he would be alone, not only without his family but without Baba lovers, without much of communication with anybody. He didn't know the language, he didn't know the custom, the people, and was very far away. So he wouldn't be able to come for Baba's darshan. And he was feeling terribly lonely and a bit scared, and he wrote to Baba and he said, you know, I'm transferred away, what shall I do? And Baba had Erich right back. Go, I will be there. You will find me there. I'm with you wherever you go. You know, be brave, go there, and everything will be fine. Now, one day, while Erich was, sometime after that, while Erich was reading out the mail to Baba in Guru Prasad, he was reading out a letter from some Baba lover, just another one. But Baba, pretending ignorance, being unknowing, he says, oh, wait a minute, Erich, isn't this letter from that man who was transferred and, you know, he didn't want to go there, and he's all alone. And Erich has completely forgotten about that, Baba lover. And Erich thought, oh, no, Baba. No, it's not that one. This man's been in this place for 20 years. No, you mixed them up, Baba. You mixed them up. That is quite different. Oh, Baba. Oh, really? Yeah, you're right. Yes, but my mistake. But now this makes Erich think. And in a minute he said, oh, Baba, by the way, the person who was transferred, the one you thought was this man, it's his birthday. He'd written recently, and it's his birthday in 2 days. In fact, so said Baba. Send him a telegram. My love, as usual as Erich would do. So he said, we only know this part of the story. That man, in 69, when he came for darshan in Guru Prasad Pune, he talked to all Baba lovers. He lit the mic and he says, may I speak? And he tells the story, and he first begins by saying, talking about Baba's love, is that Baba's love surpasses all love. Love of your family, mother, father, children, and he went on in that term. And he then spoke of this incident of how he was transferred to this very remote, no man's land sort of place, and how he was lonely. And he said, it was my birthday. He said, it was my birthday, and in the morning I was feeling more alone than ever, and I said, do my family even remember that it's my birthday? Yeah, what? I wonder, there's not been no letter from them for quite some time. And just a little while after that, the telegraph man comes. And in India, even now, but more so in those days, when a telegram comes, it means something very serious, either very happy news or sad news. It's not just to say, hello, darling, how are you? And the postman usually, after delivering the telegram, can't wait and watches the expression of the person opening the telegram and reading. If there's happiness in the face springs up, then he'll wait. He'll know that his happiness will be shared in the form of a tip. But if he sees that the face is looking sad, or then he'll just lower his head and walk away silently. Well, this time, this postman was a very pleasant postman. Because this barber lover to whom he gave this telegram was laughing and crying at the same time. So, and he didn't know what to say. He said to him, bad news, sir? And suddenly he was aware of the postman. And he said, no, the best news in the world. And goes and embraces the postman. It was Baba's telegram. A telegram from Baba. My love to you on your birthday and always. He knows that he takes pain to make us feel sometimes that he does not know. Because he asks us, mind you. And we look at him surprised that Baba asks. But he says, whenever I ask something, say, even if I ask 3 times, say. And you will see in Erich's room, which is known as the Manonash cabin, the cabin that was up on the hill, on Seclusion Hill, where Baba was in Seclusion. There was two cabins made into one when Baba had it brought down, and Baba finished his work here in this cabin. And that was years ago, and since then it was Erich's room. So one day, the same thing happened. The men Mandali were seated here, Baba was in his chair as usual. And Baba wanted Erich to send a telegram. Now, you see what Baba was doing later. He's not even wanting to give points on which to base a telegram or a letter. And that was upsetting Erich. I was here once when Baba said, Erich, reply. I think it was right up, reply. But Erich said, oh, yes, yes. But what am I to reply? Just reply. The Baba asking me, is there a point or something? And then he said, but Baba, this is a telegram and I'm going to write, man, Baba, it's going from you. And Baba said, when I tell you to do a thing, then I'm doing it. And how often we found that these telegrams or messages of things that were sent, we heard from the recipient that it's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what they needed. And just perfectly right. Anyway, so Baba had sent Erich to do something in his room, some writing. And Erich walked away to sit in his room. And I don't know what had happened before, but Baba said, one of the other Mandali, go tell Erich this. And this line. Anjana banke baithe magar janate means you sit here appearing to be unknowing, ignorant, whereas you know everything. You know, but you appear to be unknowing. Now, Erich is concentrating on this message to write for Baba, and that's very typical of Baba too. So here's this interruption that comes from Baba. So you can't say, oh, go away, woman, just leave me alone, I got a wife. Yes? Well, Erich Bhai, Baba says this. Right. Here. When he comes back, Baba says, did you tell? Yes. Did he hear? Yes. What did he say? Nothing. Go back and tell. So he goes back. by that time he's trying to figure out the exact sentence that would be right. Yes, what is it? Well, Baba said, again, that the lines that I said. Yes, yes, yes. Very comfortable. Baba's been taught it? Yes, Baba. Did he say anything? He seemed a bit impatient. He said, yes, yes, I heard. Who'll tell you? So he goes. At that time, Erich takes up his pen, felt pen, and writes the word on the wall, asbestos wall, asbestos wall his room, the cabin, and it's still there to this day. He writes and tells Baba, yes, I heard it's written down here. So he came back and says, Baba is listening. You see, sometimes we would marvel at Baba's patience. I still do. We still marvel at Baba's patience. Even Baba himself has said that in this advent, I surpass my own patience. I've never been so patient, even with God, as I am in this advent. So, I think it is because he not only loves us, he knows it. And one of the very first things I heard Baba tell the group that came in 1938, and in the irrigation bungalow there was a room, the guy, Erich's mother, came to stay for all time with us, and there was Nasari and Elizabeth and Nani and the others. And Baba said, and Katie, Now, bhagat bhagat bhage means that a person, you don't just grunt. You start, you begin, and then you pick up and you run. So, running, running, running. Baba explained that when you are dying, a scarf or a blouse or a dress, you put it in the dye water. It doesn't immediately become that color, but slowly, slowly it absorbs that color, and after a time, it has absorbed all that it should, and it becomes the color you intended to be. Third is, bahut dinon ka soya manwa jagat jagat jagat. So
mankind.
He who has slept for so long, wake. You don't become fully awake when you get up from a long, deep sleep. You wake, you realize that you've been sleeping and that you're now waking. And then you wake and wake till you are fully awake. That is why Baba was always stressed on time. The time has to come. We have known people who come, be before Baba, bow down to him. Baba would spend time with them. Baba would shower love on them. And obviously they seem to have gone away as dry without taking anything from the ocean, at least for us. And here you all are, who apparently haven't seen Baba physically, and yet here you are, loving him. Why else would you be here? So you see, it's the time. Your time has come. Those people's time hasn't come. Maybe it'll come 700 years later. Maybe it'll come in 100 years later. Because his love is not limited by anything else. It's not limited, but it's concerning Baba. So we have seen Baba give a discourse to a person who seemed like a dry stick. And I said, oh, no. He says, I don't seem to understand or take it in. But Baba was giving fully of himself. And when Baba gives, it is never wasted. It is never lost. It is never infertile. Time yet. That is why Baba was saying the time. Why Baba... Baba was very disappointed that the lady she brought to Baba. She thought she was ready for Baba. And she went to the plane. And she got sad. And Baba turned to her and said, "Don't worry. Her time has come. So you see, all we have to do also is have patience. But it turns out that he has patience. We want things on our terms. We want it in our time. We want it our way. And who's caring, for heaven's sake? Should be in his terms. His time."
Baba would say, "Yahan der hai, magar andher nahi."
Ah.
What I would translate it.
Yes, der hai, magar andher nahi.
Yahan der hai, magar andher nahi.
Yes, der means delay or time. Andher means when it's dark, when things are done slipshod, haphazard, you know, things that are in the dark. It's never that, God has ever said. Andher nahi, never darkness. Der, there's time. Yep. And where's the hurry? I mean, how much time do you spend? How many lives? As what is Marison time? She's got a very gentle son, Pat. She says, 84 million. 84 lakhs. 8 lakhs. I mean,
4 lakhs of lives.
Yeah.
That's both ways. There's one among us here who I shall not name, who has said to me, "You know, sometimes when I'm doing something, if there's something I want to do, I want to do it."
Okay.
Were allowed to indulge in a thing called shopping when we were in Pune or Guru Prasad for buttons or a reel or a pair of sandals, that the, you know. So I still remember when I'd get into the shop, Sit down, what is it that I can do for you? What is it would you like? Latest thing? No, I want black cotton, a reel or two. Oh, this is the best. See, never breaks. See, sister? It was always sister. Quite some years later, when I was again allowed to shopping, "Auntie, come in, auntie. Auntie, this is very nice. Just for you, auntie. This very best color for you, auntie. Oh, green. Oh, look, very nice with your eyes. And auntie, I'm going to give you for less cost. Everybody else, I'm giving 8 rupees for you, I'll give 6. I don't know why, I've never seen it before. More recently, Mummy, sit down here, Mummy. You don't stand so much, Mummy. I'll try these sandals on you. Mummy, this looks very good on you. Very good." Well, I said, "Now, a few years, if I'm still alive, it'll be Granny."
So bye changes to my.
My, Mummy. Even the rickshaw wallahs will say, "Mummy, take my rickshaw." I look around. Who's she calling out to? And I said, "Oh, yes. No, I don't have 2 rickshaws. I couldn't possibly ride in 2 rickshaws. Okay. Tomorrow I'll ride in yours. Today I'll ride in his." And talking of shopping, when we would go with Mahara, when Baba said, "You know, you all go, you girls go shopping. And then we have to think up, what would we want?" It's not shopping when you feel like shopping, but when he tells you. It's always for his pleasure, although it's going to give us pleasure to do the shopping. Oh, my God, shopping. Oh, okay, start out. But what shall we do? We go, it all comes out. Sandals. What Mara needs is a pair of sandals. Okay, now this is a look. something nice with a sari would do. Now, a sandal shop, a shoe shop, on one of the main street or some street in Pune, it's like it's smaller than a bus, you know, just a niche where you get in and there's just shoes around. And now, when Mera is not to be touched by any man, and we have not to say, I mean, they don't know, the utter strangers who are selling shoes and sandals, they don't know that. So, or if it's a material, you should have seen the choreography. That's the only word I can use. The way we would, when somebody would show something to Mera, round would come an arm, and then this would be taken from the man's arm and shown to Mera here, and out would come somebody, you know, stopping somebody else from coming near Mera. And it would, in that small space, this perfect choreography that would go out of amazing, we would think. Last time in Baba sent us shopping was in 1968. Now, in 68, we were in Guru Prasad, Pune, absolutely isolated, cloistered to such an extent that even the men didn't go out. The ones who lived with Baba, I mean, the Mehrazad Mandali. We were right there with Baba, and the men couldn't even go out. Erich couldn't go out to see his family, which Baba had wanted him to do in the previous years. So their hair was growing, and they were looking a little bit like the hippies we saw much later from 69, you know, just a breath of it. And so none of them could go. And we were at peace. I mean, it was different, but we were so much like enveloped in this atmosphere of Baba's work. When he wanted complete seclusion, he wanted no disturbance. There was a sort of a peace. I look back at that very nostalgically now. And I remember two of them were given silence, Naja and Kaushik. Kaushik would come and be with us in Guru Prasad for the 3 months, Baba would call up. And so because Baba wanted no excitement, no disturbance, nothing that would cause irritation, he said, when two women get together in the kitchen or work, it's bound to be something. Silence, Baba, if you don't. So there was silence. So in the afternoon when Baba had finished work and he'd be seated in his room on the bed and we'd sit around, and Baba looked at Naja as usual and said, what have you cooked? What's cooked today? What's the food? What's for lunch? And Naja used to be very expressive with her hands and arms and face and, you know, very expressive when she'd talk. You hold her hands, she couldn't talk. You let go, and she could talk. And he said, because once she wasn't well, and she was not supposed to fling her arms about, so we held her hands, silence. We let go, and then she continued. So Baba said to her, what's for lunch? So she went very graphically describing what was for lunch. She couldn't talk. She was in silence. So this was an onion, you see. It was cut like that, and then sauteed like that, and then you put that, and it was turned. And Baba looked at her and said, don't you this at me. Anything you got to say, say to them, which was us, and they'll tell me what you mean. It was very serious in that period. And oh my God, now supposing we don't understand what she's saying. We couldn't really. Now what with that onion? But then you put that in anything. So we looked at Naja. Yes, Naja. She turned around at us, sort of, you goops, couldn't you understand what I said? Sort of that expression on her face. She said, this, we were completely like that. Now, you know, this is a very tense drama. And at last, Naja thought, they're all dumb. I'll say it by alphabet, the regular alphabet, like A, B, C, D. We knew from Irene, Billow, and the others, they would do it by alphabet. So she said, S, O, S. That was worse. S, O, S. What could that mean? Suddenly it struck sauce. Baba, she's cooked sauce for you. S-O-S, sauce. I mean, her spelling is so bad. To the men's wing, I would be carrying the gramophone after him, following. From the women's side to the men's wing, I would be carrying the gramophone after him, with it playing, there's a heartache following me. Mm-hmm. So in Baba's room at that time, he said, put a chair here, put a chair. I'm for my work. So one of these nice